The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the tenth day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight's a little different. It comes to us almost as a break in the action of Lent. On this day in Holy Week, we cannot simply be somber, nor can we speak so much of where sin increased. Now today, grace more than increased and still increases to us. Though we gather willingly for somber and serious Lenten reflection, we are eager to gather and receive the Holy Supper. Our Lord Jesus was also eager. Some of the translations put it this way: with desire I have desired, I have earnestly desired, how I have longed, I have eagerly desired. As we look at that text that was read from Luke 22, the question arises, why? So tonight we consider the theme, why does Jesus so desire this Passover? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Jesus desires this Passover because every Passover celebration for 14 centuries has been leading up to this Passover, which is our first point. As we know, God had chosen Israel to be his people. He had established his covenant with them a long time ago. When God makes a covenant, he is always faithful in keeping it. The problem lies with those who are on the other end of the covenant. We, like the Israelites before us, sometimes fail to keep the promises and vows which we make with God. While God was faithful, the children of Israel with whom the covenant was made were not always faithful. Their sins were evident from time to time. Many times during their history, they simply forsake the true God to worship other gods. How often were their hearts filled with doubt? How often did they complain as they wandered there in the desert wilderness after God had so generously and graciously delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt? There needed to be a new covenant. This was one which would establish a new relationship between God and man. And we see it pictured in Jeremiah chapter 31, where it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my word within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." It's always easy for us to point the finger at someone else, in this case, the children of Israel, and say, wow, they blew it. They screwed up. Look at their sinful and messed up lives. But then we have to reel it back in a little, don't we? And then we have to ask ourselves, have I always been faithful in the vows which I've made to God? What about vows to one's spouse? What about our relationships in the home with our children? What about the vows we made to Christ and his church on the day of our confirmation? Simply put, we do not measure up perfectly, and that is the only standard that God has. Our Lord Jesus, in sitting down to celebrate this Passover for the last time, knows that through himself, God would bring to completion his promise so beautifully stated through the prophet Jeremiah. The waiting would come to an end. It would be fulfilled. Why does Jesus so desire this Passover? Looks at the fact that Jesus will change the Passover celebration forever, which is our second point. Everything started out as in the past, but Jesus speaks and he changes the festival. He says things that were never said before. In doing so, he brings the old rite to an end and establishes something new, something better. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. At the center of that original Passover celebration, as we know, was the lamb. That lamb was slain. The blood was placed over the doors of the homes of the children of Israel, so they were spared death when the angel of the Lord passed over all of Egypt. That lamb was then roasted and eaten along with the bitter herbs and unleavened bread. No longer would a lamb need to be slain, because the very next day, the Lamb of God himself, Jesus Christ, would be slain for the sins of the whole world. It was John the Baptist who nailed it when he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter would later write, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The life and body of Christ Jesus was in the process of being given up into death upon the cross. His blood was in the process of being poured out on the cross for the sins of all people. What Jesus was giving was being given for the benefit of all people. Christ is in the process on behalf of his heavenly Father of creating and sealing a new relationship with God by forgiving their sins and the sins of the whole world. Why does Jesus so desire this Passover? Is finally answered, because Jesus' new gift will last until he comes and sits with us at the great feast, which will have no end, which is our final point. The time will come when this meal will no longer be necessary. We look forward to the day, to the final day when Jesus returns and people rise from the graves, and bodies and souls are reunited and taken to be forever with Jesus in heaven. But this new meal was given for the purpose of sustaining us along the way. Christ Jesus is at the heart and the center of his supper. He prepares the meal. He serves the meal through his pastoral office. He is the one who is received in the supper. He gives us what we need in our lives, the forgiveness of all of our sins in and through his shed body and blood. We do nothing but receive so that hearts rejoice in what we have been given. What a privilege it is to be served by Jesus himself in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is a meal which moves in two directions. The past comes into the present because Jesus' body and blood are present. Because of his presence in, with, and under the bread and wine for us to eat and drink, the forgiveness of sins which he obtained through his death and resurrection is given and received. The heart of the meal is the forgiveness of sins. We also share a oneness with our Lord Jesus and with those who are united with us in a common confession of faith. Jesus gives us the most precious of spiritual food to sustain us and to keep us in the one true faith. The present, however, also reaches to the future. There will be a day when this meal in its present form also will come to an end. No, better yet, it will be swallowed up and become part of a greater meal, a feast in heaven without end, a place where there are no sorrows, no tears, no pains, only joy with our Savior Jesus. This meal sustains us as we look forward to that great day. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption, amen.